Well, we've been in this series, Heart Connections. How do we connect with the hearts of those in our family and then direct their hearts towards the Lord? We've kind of centered on the need for training in our homes that we would be implementing the truths of the Word of God in the hearts of our family members. It's been said that parents no longer bring children up, they just finance them. And there's some truth to that, I suppose. But we want to learn in this series, how do we do our part to instill biblical truths in the hearts of those that God has given to us in our family? And this morning, we're going to talk about raising the bar. Raising the bar. You know, it's interesting in home life in general how sometimes success is defined by just lowering the standard, right? Have you ever been there where you were trying to do something and you just couldn't get it done or figure it out, or it wasn't going just right or whatever? And so then you just lower the standard, right? Remember when you were a kid and you wanted to dunk a basketball and you took that hoop and I don't know, maybe you put it at 8 feet or something and you're trying to dunk that basketball and you tried and it worked. So then put it down to 7 feet, you know, and then put it down to 6 feet or whatever, you know, and get it down to where you can get it in there. And then, hey, I did it, you know. And sometimes that accomplishment came by way of just lowering the standard. Now, that may be all right for dunking a basketball, but when we're talking about our life and the life of our children and their development and pleasing the Lord with their life, we don't want to lower the standard. In fact, what we're going to be challenged with today is raise the standard, raise the bar, strive for excellence in your home. Notice in our text, Psalms 144, verse 12, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. Now think about the power of this thought, that our sons would be grown up when? Surely when they're an adult, right? No, in their youth. That our daughters would be cornerstones. It's a thought. Our sons grown up in their youth? Our daughters, are they a polished cornerstone? And the challenge is that our boys should be mature, responsible, fruitful, and productive while in their youth. Our daughters should be cornerstones, polished, refined, and strong. And certainly their leadership ability should be developed and should be honed, but there is a supportive essence in the very nature of a cornerstone providing support, providing necessary structure for growth and for development. And we want to develop that in the hearts and minds of our daughters, the ability to play a strong supportive role and encouragement and development their entire life long. Now, while we're being challenged this morning to raise the bar, to think of our boys being mature in their youth, our daughters cornerstones, many parents today are making two major mistakes. And what are they? So we can avoid them. And this is just introduction. But the first one is that we've just quit aiming high. It's interesting when you talk to parents today, and you talk to them about their kids, what you hear, you know? I just hope they make it, sometimes a parent might say. I just hope they keep going to church. I mean, they're doing pretty good. They're not addicted to drugs or anything. They've not been kicked out of school. They're still there. And sometimes the description almost sounds like, here's the trouble they're not in. nobody from the police has called me. and sometimes that's the descriptive of how are they doing or how are they excelling. And we've just quit aiming high. We're satisfied with a very low set of expectations. That's a mistake. Secondly, it's a mistake in the fact that many parents have tried to produce through scolding or a monetary incentive what can only be ingrained through proper biblical training and guidance. We talked a lot in these early weeks about the need to roll up our sleeves and get involved in the training of our children. There's a product that produces that nothing else can produce. No amount of scolding, yelling, no amount of incentive or bribery can produce in the heart and mind of a child what good old-fashioned Bible training and guidance can do. And so we have to set the bar high, and we have to be committed to proper biblical training. Now think about some Bible illustrations of some people who excelled in their youth. Think about David. David was a skillful musician. Remember when Saul was going through Great Depression and he was told about David, a youth who could play the harp. He was hired to come into the court of the palace and to play to bring Saul comfort. He was an accomplished fighter. He went to bring food to his brothers. Here comes Goliath defying the army of God. And David says, is there not a cause? And despite his brother's criticism, despite the fact that the king's armor didn't fit, David goes out in his youth, the Bible says, and with a sling and a smooth stone, and brings down the giant Goliath, an accomplished fighter in his youth. The Bible says he was good to look upon, a sharp-looking young man with a spiritual heart. Think about Daniel. Daniel in his youth, skillful in wisdom, cunning in knowledge, an understanding of science, linguistic skills and ability, a young man who walked with God faithfully. He possessed a humble heart. And when taken into captivity and examined by the opposing king, it was said of Daniel, this man is 10 times better when compared to the others in the room who might take position and authority in the government. Daniel, 10 times better in his youth. Think about Joseph, one of my favorite Bible characters in Genesis. At the age of 17, the Bible says he's a prosperous man. You read about Joseph through Genesis 37 to chapter 50. He was a young man who secured the presence of the Lord. The Bible says he was a goodly person. All that he did prospered. Whatever Joseph touched, it worked. It prospered. It went forward. He was a man of moral purity and spiritual conviction. Remember that? Potiphar's wife who desired to lie with him. Just a young man, but refusing that temptation. Think of Timothy in the New Testament, Paul's disciple, Paul's right-hand man, Paul's protege, if you will. Timothy was a man known full of faith, a knowledge of the Word of God from a child. But yes, he was a great asset to the Apostle Paul, but you study the life of Timothy, he was raised by an unsaved dad. It was a mother and a grandmother who instilled these things in his life. And as you study all of these biblical illustrations of incredible accomplishments in their youth, these children did not come from perfect families. Remember Joseph? His brothers hated him. Wanted to kill him. Thanks to Reuben, he was sold into slavery. Daniel, as a youth, hauled off 100 miles away from home into captivity. Timothy, an unsaved dad. On and on the list could go of these individuals, Esther, these individuals in the Bible that God greatly used in their youth. They did not come from perfect families, but they overcame the obstacles through the power of God, and God used them in a great way. May all of us be reminded this morning, there are no born losers. Just born choosers. Every youth represented in this room has a choice. And those choices will determine the outcome of their life. And those whom God has given us influence as parents, grandparents, teachers, etc., we have a responsibility to raise the bar of expectation in their life. So how do we do that? Four quick thoughts this morning. Number one. Invest yourself. How do we raise the bar in the hearts and minds of our children? First of all, we must invest ourselves in their life. Proverbs 23, 26. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Look at me, follow me as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop and think about what all of the children who are influenced by everyone in this room could be if everyone in this room were influencing them and investing in them what God has given to you. I'm speaking to an incredibly talented and gifted crowd of people this morning. Everyone in this room has a unique talent, gift, and ability given to you by God for His honor and for His glory. And God wants you and I to be committed to investing that in the next generation. Now, we're not talking about pressuring them to excel so that we look good. We're not talking about setting up a sweatshop at home and giving our children premature adult responsibilities. Don't you ever look at kids sometimes and think, man, wouldn't that be great to have that again? You know, I mean, you kind of look at them and they're a little stressed and you're like, what's wrong? And they're like, I had this really big test. It's like, man, I miss the days where the biggest stress points in my life were a science test. You know, that would be a blessing to kind of go back to that again. You know, there's no bill, there's no major prayer request, there's no life or death emergency. You know, it's geometry. You know, and I miss the days where that was the really big thing. You know, I'm not talking about prematurely expediting them to adulthood. I think they ought to be a kid and enjoy that moment in time in their life. But I do think it is wise for us to invest in our children in the areas of strengths that God has given to us. Again, looking around this room, it's an incredible amount of gifted people. Let's determine to invest that in the next generation. Mozart played both the piano and the violin at age 5. He toured for 3.5 years playing in the courts of royalty beginning at age 6. He wrote his first full symphony at the age of 8 and his first opera at the age of 14. In fact, during junior high, he visited Rome where he heard a complex a cappella composition sung by 2 different choirs. He was able then to sit down and accurately transcribe the entire piece from memory. He was decorated by the Pope. He was recognized as a genius, and his dad was his music teacher at home. The South Korean Kim Eun-young could hold a conversation at 6 months old. He composed poetry in 7 languages on national television at age 5. In fact, on the same program, he solved complicated calculus problems, and his dad, who was a professor, was his teacher at home. Judit Polgár, a Hungarian child, defeated her first male chess grandmaster at the age of 11. In fact, she is the only female to ever win against a male world champion, a fact that she has done 9 times since. Katie Ledecky won the Olympic gold medal swimming the 800-meter freestyle at the age of 15. Gabriel Carroll earned the highest SAT score in the state of California, including a perfect 800 in math in the 7th grade. Think about the enormous businesses in our country who were started by young people too young to rent a car and usually out of a garage. The list is amazing. Google, Harley-Davidson, Hewlett-Packard, Maglite, Mattel, Yankee Candle, Amazon, Apple, Disney, to name a few. It's amazing what is available when young people are invested in too. And we want to look at raising the bar in the hearts and minds of our children by investing in them. Secondly, we must see their potential. We want to invest in our children, and we want to see their potential. The Bible says in Ephesians 3, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Boy, I don't know that I see this going just a certain way in my child. There's much more there when we see it through the eyes of the Lord, more than we can ask or think. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God has a will for our children. God has a plan and a destiny, and it's incredible. And we want to invest in them, and we want to see their potential through the eyes of the Lord. What could they accomplish in the power of God? And listen, may we dream no small dreams for our children. Wouldn't it be cool if it was one of the children represented by a family in this room who was the next great revivalist in the United States of America, the next great missionary in Australia, the next great Christian a songwriter or performer? I mean, wouldn't that be amazing? That's the potential that this room represents. But you and I, in close proximity as parents and grandparents and teachers, may you and I see that potential as God sees it, and may we encourage it along the way. Again, as we learn about these people in the Bible, Daniel was skillful in science, and David, a musician, Joseph, knowing business and administration. They all had these skills as children and teenagers. It was seen by parents, and it was developed in them. What happened? Well, David went on to be a king and a man after God's own heart. Daniel ruled in high government office under two empires and at least three kings. Pharaoh renamed Joseph Zaphnath-Paneah, roughly translated meant Savior of the World. And Joseph lived as the nearest Old Testament type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Incredible what these young people accomplished in their adult years. But part of that was predicated that there were people in their youth who saw that potential and believed in them and invested in them and dreamed great dreams for them. Now, you might be thinking, Gabe, my kids do not have that kind of talent and ability. I know my kids and they don't. Listen, every child represented in this room has God-given gifts, talents, and abilities, every one of them. They just have to be discovered and developed. And we have to believe in our kids. One author said, some people are murderers of their own gifts. They wait and see their dreams suffer from deficiency of actions. The end result is that the world is robbed as the baggage of their dead dreams for the cemetery. There's nothing left because they were never discovered and they were never developed. Now, we have to balance this in our homes, the balance of developing our children without damaging them. Why? Because we can either be a driver or a leader, right? We could be a team player or an adversary. We can be an inspiration or we can be a discouragement or a bully. We've got to be careful that we're not driving and enforcing, but that we're encouraging, that we're discovering and that we're developing these gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given to them. And we've got to check our own heart and motive for the balance of that. Because don't forget what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:1 in your notes. Now, it's touching things offered to idols. We know that all have knowledge, but knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. In other words, we have to keep balance and mission in mind. This is not about we want to raise the smartest kid who's ever lived. We want to raise the most, you know, accomplished, the most advanced in this area, or whatever the case may be. We've got to keep the end in mind. What is the end in mind? That they're fulfilling God's will for their life. Amen. That they're doing something that impacts eternity. That through their gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given to them, that they are effective for the cause of Christ. And God may have created them to be a doctor. God may have created them to be an engineer. God may have created them to be a business owner. I don't know. But whatever their life is, it should be effective unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to balance this development and this discovery of their gifts, balance and mission. Where are we heading with it? So we've got to see in our kids the need to invest in them, see their potential. But how else do we raise the bar in our home? Number three, we must insist upon character over talent. Character over talent. Now, what did God tell Samuel? God said, "For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." God said, "I've got something very specific I'm tuning into to determine whether or not this person is right for the job." The Bible says in Proverbs 22:1, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." And we've got to make sure in our homes that we do not fall prey to the tragic mistake of overvaluing the development of a child's gift and their talent and undervaluing the development of their character, or ignoring it altogether. We've got to insist in our homes character over talent. Now, what is character? The definition, it's in your notes. Character is integrity and virtue. It is the decision to do right, even when you don't feel like it. Character is the ability to tell yourself no. One author put it this way: the measure of a man's character is what he would do if he knew he would never be found out. J.C. Watts said, there are too many people who think that the only thing that's right is to get by, and the only thing that's wrong is to get caught. Will Rogers, the famous comedian, said, character is living your life so that when you die, they can give your pet parrot to the town gossip. Character. Dale Moody said, history is made at night because character is what you are in the dark. Now, we've got to be insistent that character is over talent in our home. What's the point of raising a brilliant child that is morally compromised or is entirely selfish? There's lots of illustrations, endless illustrations of people who had all kinds of talent and ability and gifts, but they had no character and their life unraveled out of control. And we're not talking here just about discipline. We're talking about character. Somebody can be disciplined and have no character. There could be a young man who's enlisted in our military, who can shine his boots with the best of them, who can make his bed and it's perfect, who can press that uniform and do the drills and say the yes sirs and go through all of that, but when his shift is over, can live as ungodly as anyone can imagine. We're not talking about discipline. We're talking about character. Discipline is the mastery of the will over the body. But character is the mastery of the will over the flesh. In fact, what we're talking about today and what Pastor is going to talk about at 11 tie together. Character is the mastery of the will over the flesh. There's all kinds of illustrations of people with incredible talent but no character, and life ended poorly. Think of Pete Rose. All kinds of talent, no character. Mike Tyson. All kinds of talent, no character. Lance Armstrong, all kinds of talent, 7 champions, no character. President Bill Clinton, a lot of talent, no character. And on you could go with people in our environment, our culture, our society that we would know, lots of talent, but no character. And our children need to recognize character comes first, that freedom comes from self-restraint, not self-indulgence. And that's not something that's going to come to them naturally. We have to develop that in their heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 5:22, his own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Edmund Burke said, men's passions forge their fetters. I love this quote by Robert E. Lee, the general, who said, I cannot consent to place in control of others one who cannot control himself. And we live in a generation that thinks that being true to flesh is true to yourself, right? That a husband and wife are in marriage, they've committed to be one with the other for life, but if they want to be with somebody else, then why should they deny themselves of that? They've got to be true to themselves. If somebody wants to be with a member of the same sex, why should they deny themselves of that? They've got to be true to themselves. And we have this whole movement in America that says, be true to yourself. And what they mean is, be true to your flesh. What your corrupt man desires, don't withhold, or you're not true to yourself. And I want to challenge all of us in this room, first and foremost for us, and for the children whom we influence, let's raise a generation that says, we're going to be true to our God. We're going to seek the highest character, and we're going to be faithful to the vows in which we make. If our children will have character, it is best formed in their younger years. Whatever age your children may be, or those in whom you have influence, insist on character. But boy, especially those with young ones, drill that home now while they're young and that cement is wet, if you will. If we don't train character and spirituality, we're going to raise a bunch of young people, maybe with talent and ability, but not the character to see them through. So we must insist on character over talent. Lastly, number 4, excellence equals extra. Now, excellence comes from training that goes above and beyond right from wrong. And this really requires the winning of the heart. We've talked so much in this series about heart connections. Do we have the hearts of our children? Do we have the hearts of our family members? We have to have their heart, especially if we're going to take this step in raising the bar, seeking excellence, because excellence requires extra. Now, we want to look at life and consider not just what does God require, but what would please the Lord. What could we do extra that makes God happy? Now, he references this in the Sermon on the Mount. Notice it with me, Matthew chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus says, "But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Excellence requires extra. Jesus is saying, go the extra mile with people. Now, what's he saying in this passage, in this lesson? Jesus is saying, have some extra grace. What does that mean? Well, if they're going to slap you on one cheek, turn the other. This extra is going to require some extra generosity. If he takes your coat, give him your cloak. It's going to require some extra work. If he says, go 1 mile, offer to go 2 and carry his load. It's going to require extra love. And the fact that you have enemies that curse you, the Bible says, bless them. Do good to them and pray for them. Now, why is Jesus compelling his followers to do extra? Because that's who he is. That's the example he provided. We have an excellent Father. We have an excellent Savior. Jesus lives on the second mile. And we want to live there, and we want to train our children to live there, but we must understand this excellence is going to require a little extra. In fact, speaking of the Lord in Matthew 5, continuing in verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Jesus is saying, listen, yeah, it's easy to do good to those who do good to you. It's easy to scratch their back when they scratch yours. It's easy to do something for them when they're doing something for you. Jesus says, do it to those who can't do anything for you. Do it to the enemies that you may have. That's the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is excellence? It's caring more than others think is wise. It's risking more than others think is safe. It's believing more than others think is practical. And it's expecting more than others think is possible. Excellence is more. And again, excellence is important because it helps you and I effectively communicate the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to require excellence in our home. So, when so many homes are lowering the standard this morning, as we think about a heart connection, what do we want to do? Raise the bar. Raise the standard in your home. And how do you and I do this? Number one, investing ourselves. Invest yourself in your children, the gifts, talents, and abilities that God has given to you. See their potential, not just what you see day to day, but what do you see in God's eyes in them? What could they be for the Lord Jesus Christ? Stress character over talent. Talent doesn't mean anything on its own. You have to have character. We must insist upon that in our homes. Character over talent. And then the recognition that excellence will require extra. Going of the second mile. But I'm telling you, if you raise a generation that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is consistently going the extra mile, they are going to have influence. They are going to have a testimony. And they are going to have a powerful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it for a moment as we close. Who where you work goes the extra mile? Who in your neighborhood goes the extra mile? Who at your kid's school goes the extra mile? you can immediately rattle off the people at work, at school, in the neighborhood, and whatever other association that are consistently known for going the extra mile. They stand out. Can I challenge you? That should be every child represented in this room. If we will raise the bar. So let's be challenged to do it as unto the Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you for the privilege of gathering together this morning and opening the scripture and learning. And I pray that you would help all of us as husbands and wives, moms and dads, to embrace the truth of your word and to do our best to raise the bar of expectation in our home. May we not lower it to make it convenient, but may it be exactly where you desire it to be according to your word. And may our lives be an example, and may our children be a product of your grace with an incredible witness in their generation for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you bless every home here today richly, and we'll praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.